With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and Radio.com presentation. It's Readin', Writin', and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome in everyone to Readin', Writin', and Reason, the weekly podcast of Dom Giordano with Dan ably at the controls, in which we have a chance to drill down on all these things. You know, the Daily Show, we swerve into these things, but we're consumed with things sometimes outside education. This is really news you won't get anywhere else. Got a big interview coming up with the Secretary of Education for the elementary schools of the Catholic Archdiocese of Philadelphia. They've done remarkably well as we come up on the one-year anniversary of COVID being on the front page and then the shutdown. So that'll be coming up. But news right now, and we'll have more details on how much. But my friends over at Commonwealth Partners just released a statement indicating that Governor Wolfman Hack is now cutting back or trying to cut back on charter school funding. Just think about this guy. I know we talk all the time. He looks like a dithering, just a kindly old what? He is a stone cold, out of control progressive. In what universe would we cut back on the charter school funding? Well, you know, I haven't even looked. I have to look and see. I guess if the school district doesn't do it, the charter school, which is part of it. But you know and I know that more charter schools would be back in person than would the average public school. We know that, right? They hate school choice. They hate the Catholic schools. They hate the private schools. And then something where they can't use the usual arguments that they always use, the charter schools. Charter schools in Philadelphia have, I'm told, like 40,000 people on the waiting list. There's one MAST in Northeast Philadelphia, which is very good STEM, math, and all that stuff. I remember one year there was a big piece where they were entering in 100, 200 kids. 9,000 people were on the application list waiting for their shot to get in. Why are people doing that? Because they know many of these public schools are terrible. And you're seeing it play out here. You're seeing it play out here. And what is their complaint all the time? Well, you guys just don't like it, the ideology of it. And we need more money. We need more money. It's always more money. So now the charter schools, I'll be giving you more details once I have them on how much he's trying to cut back. I don't think the legislators are going to go for that, but we'll see. Now, Readin', Writin', and Reason was started to one of the biggest things, what's going on with COVID and these school shutdowns. And we're egging on parents. There was one I saw on Fox just in the last couple of days with John Roberts out there in Tredyffrin running for school board because of all that's happened. She talked about on Fox the kid she has, and she never thought she was political doing anything like this. She's a mom, but she wants to get on the school board because she's broken the code. You can have the president, you can have anything that you want. These local school boards, you know it and I know it. If your local school board said, we're going back on Monday, then that's what would happen. And if the teachers won't show up, they won't show up. Then you get into, oh, we don't want that. So they're running out the clock. Some of these teacher groups, some in the big city, some not. You'll see this. Once they get to mid-March, they'll start to say, because it's different times at the spring break and all that, celebrate it. Well, it's spring break. Then it'll almost be the end of the year. Why risk it? Why go through all this? There's too much stuff to do. Some of them are saying, we're not going to go back until all the students are vaccinated. Well, for young kids particularly, I don't know about high school. That could happen by September. But I don't think elementary school students are going to be fooling around with vaccines for them. They don't know enough until maybe the end of 2022 before, if that was the hurdle, you won't be back until then. Think about that. You're going to be hearing this stuff. And here's one poignant story that plays out. Kim Guadagno, remember her, the former New Jersey lieutenant governor and gubernatorial candidate, who now runs Fulfill, the food bank of Monmouth and Ocean Counties. She has a story that indicates kids falling between the cracks. It's a story a teacher, Monmouth County, noticed a 9-year-old girl, picture this, who kept fidgeting on the Zoom thing. She couldn't seem to sit still or pay attention. The teacher told her to focus. The girl abruptly started crying. Her cries turned to sobs. She couldn't stop crying on the Zoom call. Then the little girl made a stunning confession. In front of her whole virtual class, she said she was starving. There wasn't enough food in her home, and she was really, really hungry. Kim Guadagno relayed that story to the patch that I got. Turns out the little girl's mother lost her job when all the restaurants shut down in March. She hasn't been able to work since March. She doesn't qualify for unemployment or benefits. Guadagno says, can you imagine the trauma this little girl was going through to burst into tears and say this in front of a whole class of her peers? The child's mother is a single mom, one of three young children in the house. And the point that Guadagno then bank shots to is that she didn't reveal what school district this happened in, but the pandemic has caused hunger, you know, due to the economy and some of the stuff that's going on. And the fact is, these things are not being picked up on because kids stop going to school, at least in school, given everything that goes on. They would qualify, she probably would qualify for free lunch and breakfast. Okay? But Guadagno makes the point that these kids are falling between the cracks. Exactly the case. Just another example of this. So why does it continue to go on? Well, you know the list of reasons. And I know you'd say, well, can't they just do this? Hey, with teachers' unions, it's harder than you think. Remember Cheltenham? Guy's back in school for a few days, and then they say they won't show up. Cheltenham High School, he shuts it down because I guess he doesn't want to strike. Are they violating the contract to have a strike, bring in subs? How's that going to work out in the middle of this pandemic? I know you could say, well, somebody's got to do it. I'm just telling you, it's not as easy as you think. I think somebody does have to do it, though. That's the only way to seemingly break this. It's out of control. It's going to continue to be out of control. In Philadelphia, I've come to the conclusion, based upon some surveys and just gut instinct, that enough parents don't care. They don't care that the schools are not reopening. They're fighting over reopening just kindergarten to second grade, not even the whole elementary school system. They make up excuses. There's not enough funding. We stand with the teachers. Well, how does that affect us? Well, they always want more money, and that's what the state Supreme Court may give them if you're in Pennsylvania. It is incredible. The big story to me this week, though, in reading, writing, and reason is this. We have a superstar here, Dr. David Damsker over in Bucks County, very earnest public health official. We've had him on multiple times. He's made the point again and again and again, 3 feet. That's all you need in school to keep kids apart, to be safe, not 6. That's big because you can get back into classrooms then. Keep the teacher 6 feet away. This week, the woman, Dr. Franklin, who heads up Chester County Public Health, and by extension, Delco, said, yeah, 3 feet. We had him on the show. You can tell he was an energized guy. Finally, he's not an outlier. Finally, we have people agree with him. So there's only one Suburban out of the four that differs. You guessed it. Dr. Valerie Arkush over there in Montgomery County. She says that doesn't meet her and Montgomery County's risk tolerance. In other words, that's too risky what the other three counties are doing. And I've been asking the question, why is she our Dr. Fauci? She's not an infectious disease. She's not a public health official. She is an anesthesiologist. She's a doctor. I'm not. That doesn't make her right, though. Is she our local Dr. Fauci? Whatever she says, the lemmings out there in Montgomery County go along with it. Or at least enough of them where there's not enough pressure to do what Bucks County, Chester, and Delco are telling schools to do. She's saying the opposite. How long does that go on? Look, you explain Philadelphia by saying ignorance. It always will be. It is. There's no dealing with it. How do you explain Montgomery County, which is the land of affluence and education, on paper? What is it that's going on there? Is it just a cult of personality? They think this woman knows best, and she's politically progressive enough. That's what they want. That's what they're going to go for. Amazing stuff. But we're going to take you next here on Reading, Writing, and Reason to the guys and women that got it right. The Catholic schools across the suburbs and in the city of Philadelphia, the elementary schools. Andrew McLaughlin, the Secretary of Education for the elementary schools of the Archdiocese. He's with us next here on Reading, Writing, and Reason to tell us what are they doing that maybe the public schools are not. That's coming up.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and radio.com presentation. It's Reading, Writing, and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. Our next edition, brand new, fresh, and ready to go for you with Dom and Dan, Reading, Writing, and Reason. And our special guest this week is Andrew McLaughlin. He is the Secretary of Education for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia Elementary Schools. And I just saw a glowing article about what they've been able to achieve that's out there. But what are the lessons? How did they pull this off academically, health-wise, the buy-in of parents, teachers. It's been a grueling year as we come up on almost the one-year anniversary of all this dropping down. What exactly at the Archdiocese of Philadelphia have they been doing? I do know they're going to be honoring teachers. We're going to be part of that in March that have gone through this. But what is the guidance at the top? What should the public schools and others be learning from this? Because the track record is unbelievable. So let's bring in Andrew McLaughlin. Andrew, what are some of the lessons that we should be taking away from almost a full year of fighting the pandemic and keeping schools going academically?
Tell you the truth, there have been a lot of lessons learned. You know, we did our process where we, I think the big one was you had to be flexible as this changed and we gathered more information. So that massive planning group I told you about back in early summer, you know, we kept that going every week and we still meet and we actually have a section every week where that's what we look at. It's called, you know, what have we learned and what else can we bring out to the schools? You know, we modified it a little bit as we went along. But, you know, I think just following the science was really the biggest thing, you know, keeping children in the cohorts and not letting them mix, keeping them distanced by at least 6 feet, having them wear a mask, having the parents make sure they don't send them when they're sick, and getting their cooperation. I think really, and then we bought shields for our teachers to make sure that they're separated from the students. So doing those basic things is really what has worked. And then we monitor closely.
Well, how about the cost, though? Did this cost you? Do you have a guesstimate? Was this something that was extraordinarily costly to do these things?
I mean, it wasn't something we had budgeted. So, yeah, it I would say at minimum between the cleaning supplies and the shield for the desk and things like that, it was at least $20,000 per school.
All right.
Bigger now, schools, much more.
Yeah, but still, given what I'm reading here at HYY, what you did in the schools, they say on average between $15,000 and $20,000. The central office spent another $400 to purchase safety shields for each classroom so that teachers have a clear barrier between themselves and students. Why did that come up? Can you tell us the moment, the eureka moment, when you said, put up a safety shield for the teachers and students?
All right, so these are shields that are on wheels. We had them custom made for our teachers.
Okay.
So they're made of like aluminum, so they can move that around. So they could actually walk up to a desk. We really felt it was important that we didn't lose that contact. So these shields, you could walk up, and if you were sitting down doing your math, the teacher could come up and look right next to you and still have that barrier between them. So I think the eureka moment was, you know, as we were beginning to roll this out, you know, and we ran the plan by our teachers, they were concerned that you know, how do we continue to make sure we don't spread it to the children or children don't spread it to us? So we had engineers who were part of that group, and they helped us design these, and we found funding, a grant funding from two organizations that helped pay for them.
Well, I got to tell you, just right out of the box, as I suspected, you've given me show after show after show in the future, Andrew McLaughlin here on Reading, Writing, and Reason. I haven't heard that being done in other places. It makes all the sense in the world. This way, the teacher's protected, the kid's protected. But in addition to that, there's that touch of being up close and seeing what goes on. And again, Andrew, I'm going to try to spread the word to others on this. That makes perfect sense. And the cost of this is not overwhelming when I take a look at the result. So how about ventilation now? This has become a big issue. I think you guys probably intuitively said, well, we're going to crack a window or two here. Some of it put screens in it. Ventilation's a concern because I'm getting to the bigger picture. Not all the Catholic schools. The only one that comes to mind for me, it's a high school, but just as an example, would be like a Hallahan. But where I went to school, Newman is still pretty, well, I don't even know where they go to school now, if Goretti's modern or not. So I would say maybe a significant number of the elementary schools probably were built 40 years ago or so, right?
Yeah, you're right, yes. At least portions of them certainly were.
So
that brings in the stuff,
yeah. That brings in the challenge that we don't have all the modern infrastructure. So talk about ventilation, Andrew McLaughlin. What did you guys do with that?
Well, you know, we looked at what was recommended by the CDC and the American Association for Pediatrics, and they recommended just opening a window and putting a fan in there. And that's what we recommended our school to do, to just draw that air out and have another window open so new air could circulate in. So schools that had an air conditioning system, you know, they looked at ways to kind of increase the filtration of that. But most of our schools didn't have that, and we just went with that basic plan of where to station a fan and look at the dynamics of where we could get constant ventilation.
Okay. That makes sense. You know, in some places they would say they're cold, but I went to Catholic schools, as you did too, and I remember the windows being open, the nuns pretty much saying it was good for you. So I imagine on freezing cold days and all the rest. So give us the metric now. We'll get to the academic, but how about in the prevention phase? Have you had to shut down schools? You talked about the cohort group. Doesn't seem you had to shut down a whole school. How has it been as far as mitigating the virus? Do you have numbers on that?
Sure. I mean, our numbers have pretty consistently been below 1%. Now, we have over 30,000 students and staff. We monitor, track it closely. Everything we get, we report. Every case we get, we report it to the Department of Health in each of the counties. They advise us if we have to, who we have to quarantine. So about October, maybe November, the state came out with guidelines that if you have so many cases within a two-week period, you have to shut the school down for, either 3 days or 10 days, something like that. So we have had 30 cases of that happening throughout the whole year so far out of over our 100 schools.
That is excellent. Yeah, and you've been from the beginning at the elementary, 5 days a week, option of in-person.
Yes, which the majority of parents have opted for. I would say about 90% have opted for in-person.
Wow, that speaks well, too. You know what that says? They get it, that in-person learning's better, and also they trust you at the head and the other people involved in the Archdiocese and the teachers to do that kind of thing. So let's talk about the teachers for a moment. A birdie flew into my window and said the Archdiocese is going to be honoring teachers. They're looking for ways to do that coming up, I guess, in March, around the anniversary of when all this happened. And I'm told that any number of the teachers, in some instances, helped to chip in and do things around that. Plus, they were flawless in executing this pretty much. So talk about the teachers, their role in this.
You know, the teachers I can't say enough about how wonderful they have been. And, I mean, it's been exhausting for them. I've heard that multiple times because, you know, they could be teaching a class full of children plus having children online that they're teaching virtually.
Yes.
So they had to make the accommodations for that, plus do all the social distancing and manage that, keeping children positive. Some of them have created, they should have been engineers, some of the things they have designed so they could have small groups and they, you know, with shower curtains and PVC, they set these barriers up. They have just been, I mean, I couldn't imagine that they would have been able to reach these heights of just dedication. It's just been really moving the whole time. We can't thank them enough. And we are looking for ways, you know, midway after we gave them a couple days off to try and help them show our appreciation, you know, around Christmas, and then now we're looking to do something as well at the year anniversary mark. Our principals association is looking to do that.
Well, certainly we want to feature, we're all on board with that, and again, I'd love to see pictures. You guys should publicize that more. This piece at HYY about the school, Andrew, in South Philly did have pictures and showed some of this stuff. But I'd love to see their part in, you know, and consulting with the teachers here. They know what you have to do to be effective in a classroom, designing all that stuff. That is wonderful. Now, I know you're not, the person in charge at the high school level. Just wanted to ask you a couple of informational things for listeners, though. At the high school level, they were offering some in-person. Were they hybrid most of the time? Is that what they did?
Yes, they were hybrid, so they would go a couple days a week, one, and then go virtual, and then another group would come in the other days.
And were they able to do that throughout the school year, to your knowledge?
They were. The city of Philadelphia have put greater restrictions on the high school age students.
Okay.
So they had to close some of those schools down for a period, based on the health Department of Health guidelines. But the health Department of Health in Philadelphia felt it was really important that the younger children stay in school, so we were allowed to do that.
Okay, that's all good. Let's talk about the academics now. The state has said, I see all these politicians. I'm not in favor of this, of getting rid of standardized tests at the end of the year, for the following reason. It's not an attack on the school, but we need to know what they know, how damaging this was, because that helps the impetus, I think, to get back to in person. So what's been the stance at the elementary level about standardized testing toward the end of the year?
Well, we're moving ahead with it. We're in that process now. We're receiving the test and putting the labels in the book. So in March, we will start that process. We're making accommodations for anybody who is virtual because the standardized tests we use are a national group, Terranova. They have to come in and do it in person. So we're setting up special situations where they can do that. But we're moving forward and giving the regular test because I agree that we need to know, how well we implement the curriculum. Are there areas we need to reteach? What are our strengths and our weaknesses? So, the test really is to measure how well we're doing and to make modifications on what we're doing. It's not really for any other purpose. We're not sure we're making progress is the important thing.
Right. I would expect, all things being equal, that you have to expect a little bit of erosion because this is exhausting, particularly when you mentioned I've taught a community college class online, and it's not my style. It's a lot more cumbersome and difficult than what I do in a classroom. So I realize for the students that it's going to be interesting, too. And I don't know what you would do, because hopefully this will be the last year of this, that the online students, I would expect, have more trouble than the students in class. Do you have any sense of that?
I don't have any data on that yet, and I think that's one of the things we're looking to find out. I would imagine, having done both, it's hard to get a sense on where a person is. You get when they're there, you can, read the faces and see if they're struggling and
yes,
can provide help immediately. So, that wouldn't surprise me if that's something we found out. But that's one of the reasons we're looking forward to doing this assessment to find out, what the strengths were and where we need to and with who we need to kind of provide additional programming. So we are looking at doing that at ways that we can provide additional help for them, in the fall of next year.
Special guest, this week's podcast, special guest on Reading, Writing, and Reason, Andrew McLaughlin, who is the Secretary of Education for the elementary schools of the Archdiocese. Now, sadly, this is creeped in. You and I have never talked about it. You may differ. I'm not sure. I am not a fan of summer school unless there is a real issue there, that we see, and then you obviously have to do something. But for kids who have been performing, Andrew, particularly given the pandemic, particularly the grueling nature of this whole thing, even for little kids, everything that they go through, too, in addition to the teachers. But that's creeping into the national conversation. And I just think that's incredibly flawed and would be even more of a burden after how physically and mentally draining this is. Are you looking to do summer school in any kind of big time way?
We're not looking to do it in a big time way. We always offer summer school to students who need it, who didn't meet the kind of criteria for the grade level, and so they can continue on and not be behind. But we're not looking to just as a broad stroke say, we're going to do everybody for summer school. So we're not looking at anything like that at all.
Well, I'm very glad to hear it. How did, did parents drive their kids to school? How did you handle all the busing issues, if there are any number? I mean, where I went to school at King of Peace way back when, there was a bus from the new homes to where the school was located. So how about busing? How did that go?
Early on, it was a bit of an issue, in September, October. But I think guidance came down from the state saying that if they provided busing, if the school district provided busing the year before, they had to continue with that in the same manner, even if they weren't open. So luckily that was resolved early. So it hasn't been an issue since, you know, maybe early October.
Okay. That's really good. Now, again, I'm looking at this article, and I commend it to people. I'll put it up on my Twitter, too. I don't know if you guys have shared it, but it is very, very fair from HYY.org, and it gives high grades of what's going on here in the Archdiocese. The opt-in rate among parochial school families is roughly triple the rate for school district families, and they say it highlights an area where the two systems seem to diverge. Trust. And without impugning theirs, let's look on the positive side. That's what this comes down to. These parents trust you. You're the principal agent and all of your people with you, and then down to the teachers. And I think that's why this was so successful. And my thought might be that coming out of this, the trust level will even be up more in the future. I mean, I wrote this down, the Shields on Wheels thing, just for example. I love stuff like that. It tells me that you guys kept the things we expect in Catholic schools, but there was a lot of creativity that was thrown in that was a little bit different here. So it must feel good to hear that this is based on trust.
You know, that I really tell you the truth, that was one of the nicest parts that I saw in that article, you know, the whole trust factor. And I really think it's something our principals pride themselves on, and the teachers, you know, they connect with that bond. It's a little different a culture that they create there, and I really, really was so glad to see that emphasized. It is a big part of what we do.
Now, if people are interested in this, and I'm sure that people are making decisions, you know, particularly there are a lot of people, kindergarten was X'd out, the Philadelphia public schools, maybe even some of the suburban schools, there were problems with getting kids into school. Are your numbers, do you have any way of telling us now, did you see more students sign up at some point during the year? Is that happening?
Oh, yeah. We saw a lot of places we have waiting lists because, you know, we don't have the room for, you know, we have the social distance. We don't have the room to take in more. The area we saw a drop in, if it wasn't for this, I think overall we would have had a major growth, was the pre-K children. You know, the parents felt, I think, one, that they didn't want they were afraid that the state, I think, was going to come in and say, you know, you're closed, and they didn't want to commit for a year. So, and they figured they were home anyhow, we would keep them. So, but in grades K to 8, you know, we have waiting lists. We saw growth in almost all of our schools, or majority of our schools.
Well, that is that's more good news. Now, Andrew, people that may want to take a look at this, because God knows I'm hopeful, vaccinations for teachers and all. Now, your teachers, too, were part of that this week, or no? I know the Philadelphia public school teachers and charter schools were put in line to get vaccinated this week. Is that happening?
Yes, that is happening. They we were put on the list. They've been contacted and set up appointments. Some already have it. So in the city of Philadelphia, our teachers have it. In the counties, not yet, but in the city of Philadelphia, our teachers are getting it.
And that's going to make a big uptick for everybody feeling safer inside all these precautions. But people that are interested in exploring, particularly, they might know the high schools because they're often in the news, but the average elementary school, if they haven't been there, they don't know the proud tradition of, like, King of Peace, where I'm from. What school did you go to? Did you go to Philadelphia Public
School? I went to St. Bernadette's in Drexel Hill. I went to St. Carthage originally in West Philadelphia, but that closed. I went to
I love that name, St. Carthage. That was always one. Yeah. They were pretty tough in basketball when we played them. But if people are interested in the Archdiocese schools, either high school or down through pre-K, where do they go? What do they do?
So they can go to aopschools.org, and then there's a finder. They can just put in their zip code, and I'll show you what schools are near them. School finder, right on the AOP, like standing for Archdiocese of Philadelphia Schools, AOP Schools.
Okay, very, very good. Andrew, thank you so much. I'm glad I saw the article and that we had you back on of Reading, Writing, and Reason. And again, I love little things like the Shields on Wheels, etc. Anything that we've left out, anything else that you could tell us going forward, your mission with the Archdiocese Schools?
No, I mean, I thank you for your time, and I appreciate it. And the only, I mean, again, I think you focused on the big part here. So I just want to thank our teachers and our parents for that cooperation we've got all year. So it's been great.
Thank you very much, Andrew McLaughlin. Thanks for joining us.
Sure.
There's Andrew McLaughlin, the Secretary of Education for the Archdiocese of the Philadelphia Schools. Trust. Adapting. Saying we're going to get it done. Shields on wheels. I mean, we haven't heard that in all these discussions. Funny the things that you run into. We got a whole lot more in this week's edition of our brand new podcast. Well, I think this is the fifth or sixth week. But tremendous stuff. I hope to talk with a high school person. More challenges at the high school level. But at least at the elementary school level, you see all the things that went into it. They did it. They're doing it. And you know they'll do it in the future. Why is that? Well, I think you get the subtext listening to this. They know what they're doing. They're disciplined. And they have trust from the parents and teachers. All right, more coming up on Reading, Writing, and Reason.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and Radio.com presentation. It's Reading, Writing, and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome in everyone to Reading, Writing, and Reason, the weekly podcast of Dom Giordano with Dan ably at the controls, in which we have a chance to drill down on all these things. You know, the Daily Show, we swerve into these things, but Andrew McLaughlin, that is just great stuff, unbelievable stuff from him. And we're so glad to have his confidence to have him come on with us. But we have a lot more on Reading, Writing, and Reason today than that interview. Although that interview, I love the Shields on Wheels. That makes a lot of sense, does it not? Nicholas Kristof is a liberal in good standing, writes for the New York Times, one of their big guys. Column he wrote this week is getting a lot of attention. School closures have failed America's children. He doesn't blame Trump. In fact, he says it seems as if some of these school districts, some of the bigger ones, and they're run by Democrats, he says that very clearly, they're doing this because Trump was on the other side. He writes in the New York Times, while it's crucial to improve ventilation, increase testing, maintain adequate spacing, those steps aren't always possible. Failure to meet every benchmark shouldn't be an automatic bar to in-person schooling. Teachers in some places are suggesting that in-school instruction shouldn't resume even after they're vaccinated, not until all students are vaccinated. Nicholas Kristof says that's an abdication of responsibility to America's children, particularly minority students. He then cites the former governor of Rhode Island, a Democrat, and says, well, she got it. She worked hard to open schools, and kids are better off because she did. Why can't other liberals, other progressives do the same thing? And again, That is Nicholas Kristof. He's a guy who is a deep liberal, but I would say not a progressive. By the way, we haven't gotten this guy on yet, but we will. There's a professor, speaking of progressives, over at St. Joseph's University, right out there on City Line Avenue, right? And the Jesuits run it. So this St. Joseph's University professor is suspended, and that only happens rarely, as you know, at the college level, after tweeting out about reparations for slavery. St. Joseph's University has suspended, according to news reports, math professor Gregory Manco after he tweeted out against reparations for the ancestors of slavery in the United States. So he seems to think, is this the new rule on college campuses? You're not allowed to argue against reparations. He's a math professor. He didn't do this on company time or anything else. He wrote on Twitter, "It appears that cancel culture is knocking at my door. In advance of a school newspaper article, I wanted to share my thoughts here in a way that would be unfiltered," on Twitter. A written notice from the school's human resources department to Manco called the tweets biased or discriminatory, and he has since been placed on paid administrative leave pending the outcome of an investigation. In one, Manco compared slavery reparations to the great-great-grandchild of a murder victim asking the perpetrator's great-great-grandchild for compensation. All right, so we'll see how that plays out with Professor Manco. But again, a Jesuit outfit there, and, you know, I'd have to go through every tweet. I'd have to see everything involved with it to make a decision on this. But on the surface, it appears to be it's about his ideology. It's about his stance on reparations. That seems to be what it's all about. By the way, several people emailed me to say they really like this. They didn't get it the first time around when I did it on the 9 to noon show. And I may have done it on Reading, Writing, and Reason, our weekly podcast. I gave you Catholic school enrollments, 1969, to make the point about how things have changed and just what it was like back then. And before that, it was even bigger. But this is from the 1969 Bulletin Almanac. A listener sent this to me. "I actually kept the almanac," he writes, "all these years. It's my only source of information. When do you think we'll get out of Vietnam or land on the moon?" All right, here's the breakdown. Cardinal Doherty, boys and girls, had 5,783 students. Wow! St. Maria Goretti, which is now linked with my alma mater, Bishop Newman, now St. John Newman, Newman Goretti, or Goretti Newman, whichever it is, they alone had 3,117 girls. Bishop Newman had 2,850. Now, I don't know if it's about 500 between them. I'm not sure of the number. Little Flower had 2,811. Northeast Catholic Boys, North, doesn't even exist, right? 2,805. Grade schools. These are grade schools. That means kindergarten through eighth grade. St. Martin de Tours, 2,681 students. Most Blessed Sacrament, 2,682 students. We had to play them in basketball. I mean, King of Peace, where I went, had maybe 400 kids, maybe not, versus 2,682. There were 40 grade schools with 1,000 or more, and 4 with 2,000 or more. Wow. It is amazing to me. I'm going to keep that. Occasionally, you look back at it and you go, what the heck happened here? Hey, by the way, we have one school name change that appears to be underway. I haven't gotten word how far they've gotten yet. They did hold a Zoom meeting on this. I'm not sure what they're going to rename. But the Philadelphia Public Schools, with all that's going on, they're not even back in school. They've given license to South Philly's Andrew Jackson School, which is at 12th and Federal, to take away that name of Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson never had a chance. I'm surprised he lasted this long, given what we're living under, given the type of mob mentality that's out there. But that is going to go away, and we're just waiting to see what kind of name they come up with
that will take it away. One last comment, too, on stuff like this. Cherry Hill School District becomes the first in New Jersey to mandate African-American history course for graduation. This has 1619 Project written all over. Remember that? Remember we talked with the author of the book, 1620? In other words, this New York Times curriculum that schools use, how bad America is. It was always a slave nation. It was built on that. It will never get past that unless we completely throw aside traditional America. Cherry Hill School District mandating African-American history course for graduation. First in the state of New Jersey, one of the first in the country. 8-0, their board voted. Now, it's fine to learn about history, but what this is, based upon a careful reading of it, the breakdown of it is, it's not a history at all. It's indoctrination. It's about now. It's about systemic racism. It's about that argument that that's what America still is, and it will never end. So, congratulations for being a first, but hardly anything that I think ultimately will be useful. That's where we're going over there in Cherry Hill. If I had to predict, though, let's take a little bit of the long view. We're on the cusp of March. I think you are going to see now, because of this ruling of the public health official out in Chester, Delaware County, along with the Bucks County person, in our area, you're going to see more schools, more pressure, but they're dithering day to day. They need surveys. They need to talk to parents. I think you're going to see, say, across those three counties, 20 to 25 more school districts offer 5-day-a-week in person, along with the remote, say, by the end of March. That's what you're going to see. That's the under. 25 or so across three counties. All right? But there will be a lot that will just force the issue. They're not going to do it. I think you're going to see by the end of the school year, you'll see school districts that just have not had 5-day in person during the school year. The teachers union is that adamant. They keep on moving the goalpost. The school board is in the tank with them. Elections don't happen to the fall, I guess, for a school board. So expect there will be, you'll be an outlier still. You'll be in a minority probably to be back 5-day in person. Maybe a few will cut a break, have some hybrid here and there. But we're getting the promise, the hope is there. The more people that get vaccinated. This week, across the area in Philadelphia public school teachers were vaccinated. Well, go back to school then. You ought to be able to teach. No, the kids have to be vaccinated now. That's not going to happen. We don't even know, particularly for younger kids, if we have the appropriate vaccination formula for them yet. That wouldn't happen through all of 2022. And this is political. And it comes back to Joe Biden and his first 100 days. Hey, I hope you enjoyed Reading, Writing, and Reason this week. We'll continue the thread on all these stories. And Governor Wolfman Hack, let the charter schools alone. They do a tremendous service. You don't like them because they show how bad the public schools are. That's what it comes down to. Hey, thanks for listening. Join me Monday morning, 9 until noon. We'll break down everything in the news. Have a great weekend, everyone, right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.